Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13. David said, "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." We're going to talk today about the issue of abortion. It is a critical issue in this election, and sadly, honestly, we don't have a pro-life candidate that is running for president. President Trump was pro-life in 2016, said he was pro-life, but now that doesn't seem to be very popular with the American people, so he has moved to a position of he believes in abortion, except abortion in the cases of rape, incest, life of the mother. He believes in abortion up to 15 weeks, but after that, abortion is wrong. Now, to help me with this discussion is American Family Radio's own Jenna Ellis. Jenna, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff, and thank you so much for having me on this critical topic that Christians everywhere absolutely need to be voting for truth on this issue.
You know, Jenna, what's so sad is this abortion, the abortion issue used to be so solid in the church and solid among Christians. We saw that as murder, and we weren't going to vote for a pro-abortion candidate. And we always had a pro-life, seemingly always had a pro-life candidate. It was written into the Republican platform, but that's not the case anymore. So why do you think there's been this change?
Well, as our good friend Chris Woodward, who writes for American Family News, very aptly put it, Democrats run to win, Republicans run not to lose. And I think that for so many Republicans that aren't necessarily conservative and aren't even necessarily Christian, don't see abortion as a critical topic. They just want to win at all costs. And this is the consequence of populism and the kind of MAGA overall movement that isn't grounded in truth and morality and legitimacy in government, but on a personality. And personality and opinions can change, but as we know, truth doesn't change because God, the person of truth, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if we don't have a moral objective as a party or as a worldview of politics, then we can get off track so easily, and that's where we've gone.
Well, it seemed to be at one time, you know, we just said, hey, abortion is murder, and we stand for life, and that was why we were pro-life, and we don't care if it's popular or not. This is the way it is. But now the overturning of Roe v. Wade, we all rejoiced over that. But Donald Trump keeps saying, you know, everybody wanted that overturned so it would go back to the states, which doesn't make any sense at all to me. So it goes back to the states, and then the states say, okay, well, it's okay to kill your baby in Alabama, but you can't do it in Arizona. That doesn't make sense.
Right, and I think Donald Trump is partially correct on that statement, but he's leaving out the rationale and where we go from there, because no pro-life advocate who recognizes the truth that abortion is the intentional killing of a human life, it's a medical intervention specifically designed to cause the death of a child, no one who advocated for that position simply wanted Roe versus Wade to be overturned so that then the blue states could go ahead and cement abortion in their state constitutions or in their law up until literally the moment of birth. That's not at all the moral position. The reason that we wanted Roe versus Wade overturned is so that we could have these conversations on the merits in the states, but also have the ability for Congress to have pressure on Congress to have a national amendment and national legislation that would codify protections for life, which they can do under the 14th Amendment. So, and that's where the GOP has completely removed that push for Congress to legislate on this issue and protect life. And they're basically saying now, you know, hey, it's up to the states and whatever the states want to do, that's democracy, right? Well, people can get it wrong and people can legislate things or vote for things that are not morally sound. And this is where the pro-life advocates need to do a much better job of saying, well, wait a second, President Trump, we're grateful to you and to the Supreme Court for overturning Roe versus Wade, but that wasn't the end goal and the end result. We have to continue to push to protect life at all stages in all states.
Yes, for sure. Well, I had mentioned to you before we got on the air about a conversation Bill Maher had with Piers Morgan, and he was on a panel discussion. I think this was on his show. But what he said is spot on, and it's very chilling. Listen to this clip.
What if you believe it's murder? You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women, people who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. That's my position on it. What?
That's quite harsh, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
is
sure
that
really
not your position if you're pro-choice?
Isn't that mainly because you don't like children? I mean,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
No. I mean, but if you are, you said you're pro-choice. That's your position too.
Now he's just being logical, Jenna. So what would you say to that clip?
I think Bill Maher is absolutely spot on, and this is where if you are pro-life, then you can't be pro-abortion at any other point on the spectrum, the life spectrum. You have to recognize that life begins at conception and must be protected all the way until natural death. That's the only internally logical consistent position. And so for Republicans who want to waffle and say, well, we'll compromise on 6 weeks, 15 weeks, you know, whatever the exceptions are, then you're saying that murder is sometimes okay. And that is not a consistent position. And I think he's absolutely right that the leftist position really is, yeah, it's murder, but we're okay with that. And that's the reality that the left won't openly say, because they know in their hearts that that is an evil, ugly, despicable position to advocate for.
Yeah, well, you saw how, or you could hear that when Bill Maher said that, they were got kind of quiet there. This is, well, that's quite a position, but he's being honest. That's what you believe if you are pro-death, if you're pro-abortion. Now, Jenna, I know you were on a Zoom call just recently with Governor DeSantis in Florida, and you guys have Amendment 4 that is up for vote. Tell us about Amendment 4 and what that means for the state of Florida and what that means for the United States as a whole.
Yeah, Florida, and I'm so grateful to Governor DeSantis for being a leader on this, for standing firmly for pro-life. He has been a leader on this issue. He's been consistent on this issue in the face of a lot of criticism from his fellow Republicans. He just stands firmly on truth, and he said in that Zoom meeting, and he has said, you know, that he will consistently stand for what's right, even if it's not popular, and that is the type of leadership that we absolutely need. So Amendment 4 in Florida, and by the way, abortion is on the ballot in 10 states. So know those states. You can go to AFA Action, and that we actually have a guide that shows you the amendments, the names, the summaries in all of those 10 states. And I have that pinned on my social media on X at Real Jenna Ellis. You can see that posting. But specifically, Amendment 4 in Florida would provide for cementing a so-called right to abortion in the state constitution that does not define any terms, including the healthcare provider that could make the determination what women's health means, whether that's just her emotional health, her whim, whatever,
yeah,
or what viability means. So this would cement a right that the state legislature could not go back in and narrowly tailor or change at all to abortion up until the moment of birth. And the practical effect of this would be that then the abortion industry would allow for abortion tourism for surrounding states that still have heartbeat legislation, have abortion bans, like Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi, Missouri. All of the abortions from those states would then come to Florida for tourism. And the estimates, if Amendment 4 passed, is that at least, at minimum, 40,000 babies would die annually. And some of those projections are even higher.
It's just sickening. Now, Kamala Harris's position on abortion is no restrictions. I mean, they asked her about that at the debate, and she sidestepped it. She didn't want to say, but basically she thinks you can abort up through 9 months, correct?
Yes, and she refuses to say if she believes in any other restrictions, but that is the leftist position. So if she wants us to understand that she's for anything else, she better come out and say it and stop being vague and just running on joy and vibes.
Now, at one time, we heard a lot about partial birth abortion. Is that still being practiced? I don't hear that mentioned anymore.
Well, in my former home state of Colorado and in several other states across the country, there are no limits and no restrictions on abortion. So, yes, in the state of Colorado, you can have an abortion up until the moment of birth. And we all remember, I mean, even though the left continues to try to so-called fact check Donald Trump on what the governor of, I think it was West Virginia, who had talked about
right,
saying, well,
Northern,
you know, if there's... Right. If the baby is born and then the mom decides that she doesn't want it, then, you know, there's a time period that she can determine that even after the baby is born. I mean, that's the radical extremism of what the left wants. And so even though hopefully those are very, very minimal in actual practice, the reality is that in some of these blue states, you can have an abortion for any reason, literally up until the moment of birth. I mean, these are pain-capable babies. These are children. These are fully formed human beings. I mean, we know that life begins at conception. A human being is a human being. No woman has ever had anything besides a human being as a result of pregnancy.
Right.
And yet, when we're talking about a child who is 9 months old, it is just horrific.
It is. You know, the idea of, I believe abortion is wrong except in cases of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. Now, I would agree if the mother is going to die, you know, you have an ectopic pregnancy, well, that's not a viable pregnancy, but that will kill the mother. You have to go in there and help her and you know, do the medical procedure to ensure her life. But they're talking about life of the mother is emotional life. It's whatever she's feeling that day. That's a totally different issue. I think when people look at the life of the mother, they think of, well, she's going to die if this doesn't happen. The idea of rape and incest, as gruesome and horrible as that is, it still doesn't give you the right to kill the innocent baby that's growing inside you.
I completely agree with that. And I think as horrific as those instances are, for one thing as well, the left uses that to pretend that that is a much higher percentage of the women who go in and want abortions when it's the exception rather than the mainstream of the reasons. I mean, these are just economic reasons, personal reasons, you know, women saying, well, I'm not ready for parenthood. I mean, a lot of these other reasons. So it is thankfully minimal. But even in those instances, the law never in any circumstance, especially when we're talking about criminal law, the law never punishes an innocent third party for the actions of the criminal. So why should the innocent child be punished for the rapist's actions? We never do that in any other context, and we should not morally do that in even those instances. We should be with the mother, provide other options and support around that little baby's life.
Okay, Jenna, last question before we close. So Amendment 4, we want our listeners to vote no against Amendment 4. What are the polls saying on that amendment?
Well, thankfully, we have a 60% threshold, so there's a very good chance that if we continue to educate voters in Florida, we will have at least 40% plus one. But we need to get the word out. Polls are showing that when people are actually informed how extreme this is, they change their minds and they vote no.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jenna Ellis. I appreciate you so much. God bless you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the issue of abortion. Don't go away.
After working at AFR for long enough, one begins to recognize there is a rhythm to our year, a cycle. Every 6 months, we hold Share-a-thon. We throw open the phones and encourage our listeners to partner with us financially. And our listeners encourage us through their outpouring of support. It affirms that AFR is effectively sharing the love and truth of Christ in our world.
Fall Share-a-thon is coming October 8th through 10th, and it's your chance to partner with us.
And then, after that amazing infusion of support, we're equipped to get back to the business of broadcasting, producing shows, providing insight, platforming our ministry partners. And before you know it, preparation begins again for our next three-day Share-a-thon. It's a rhythm, and it's a real honor to partner with so many of our listeners as we serve the Lord.
Join us October 8th through the 10th for Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
As a parent, maintaining discipline and relationship can be a delicate balance. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Kevin Lehman helps you set healthy boundaries with your kids to prepare them for adulthood, and he'll discuss depression and other painful challenges children face. He also cautions parents not to fall into the perfection trap. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
He is not automatically bound to give us everything we want. He often answers our prayers to give us what we need, and he never answers our prayers to give us what we want. Our goal as his children is to learn how to want what we need.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for a special message of encouragement next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We have been talking to Jenna Ellis on the issue of abortion, and she was gracious. You know, she has the program from 7 to 8 Central Time, and so she was gracious to stay on, and but she had to go, and so I appreciate her and her strong stand on biblical issues. And as we talk about the issue of abortion, every Christian, if you have a biblical worldview, if you take the Word of God for the Word of God, it's not just a book written by men. It's a men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This book is not like any other book. You read other books, but this book reads you. And all scripture is inspired by God, literally God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you read the scripture, it is obvious. It's obvious for any honest medical doctor, any honest scientist. When does life begin? Life begins at conception. We had my good friend and faithful church member and deacon in our church, Dr. Sudhir J. Opperbu, on the program some time ago. And he clearly says that. He says everybody in the medical community knows, they may not say this, but they know that life begins at conception. If life doesn't begin at conception, when would it begin? It begins when there's a heartbeat. It begins when, you know, the baby starts moving. It begins when their arms and legs. That doesn't have a good starting place except the starting point of conception. And as Jenna said, you know, every woman that is pregnant and without any kind of, you know, medical issues or something, you know, out of the ordinary, at the end of that 9 months, she's going to give birth to a baby. And, you know, we hear this argument from the left. My body, my choice. My body, my choice. Don't tell me what I can do with my body. Well, the answer to that is simple. Well, that's not your body. You know, my body, my choice sure didn't work well when they were forcing vaccinations on people during COVID. That is your body, and it is your choice to say no to the vaccine. But my body, my choice for abortion, it's not your body. It's another body living inside your body. And in 9 months, that body is coming out. So as Mark Oz, our engineer, and I were talking during the break, rape and incest, that is about 1% of the abortions done across the board. 1%. And they highlight that. Well, you're saying that rape and incest, you know, you're going to force that poor mother to carry that baby. I realize, and Jenna said just in the first segment, that's a terrible, horrible, awful thing. But listen, think about it this way. If a girl gets raped and she gets pregnant, that doesn't give her the right to go next door and kill one of the young children of her neighbor. That's an innocent bystander. Her baby is the product of that rape, but her baby is not guilty of anything. And so we protect the life of the innocent. And what we're saying in the pro-life movement and the abolitionist movement is abortion is murder. And so if we're going to have a government that protects the life of its citizens, well, we need to protect the life of the unborn. And Bill Maher gets it, as I played that clip in the first segment. He gets it. And he says he can respect the position of the abolitionist that says abortion is murder and abortion is wrong and murder is wrong. And you protect the life of the unborn because we're not for murder. Although he says abortion is murder, and it kind of is, and I'm okay with it because we have 8 billion people in the world, and unborn baby, you just didn't make it. Now, he sure doesn't want that to be said of him. He wouldn't have wanted his mother to abort him. You know, everybody living says, thank you, Mom, that you didn't murder me in the womb. It's just horrific. You know, when Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, went to see her relative Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, as soon as Mary entered into Elizabeth's presence, John the Baptist leaped in her womb for joy. You're telling me that's not a person? That is a person. And John the Baptist, even in his mother's womb, was, by God's providence, was able to understand that the Son of God is in my presence. He was in Mary's womb. She was freshly pregnant by the Spirit of God, and there is Elizabeth 6 months pregnant, and John the Baptist rejoices over the presence of the Lord. So the issue of abortion. Now, what are we supposed to do? I was listening to a message by Gary Hambrick, and he was talking about the abortion issue and the election in 2024, and he was just honest. He said, hey, we don't have a pro-life candidate this time. Trump was pro-life in 2016, pro-life in 2020. Not pro-life today, because that was never a conviction in his heart. And he's just, you know, he's going, what's going to get me elected? He's just looking at the pragmatic viewpoint on this issue. You can't be pragmatic about it. You have to be biblical about it, and you have to stand for life. Now, what did they do in the Old Testament? They sacrificed their children to the false gods of the Canaanites, namely the god Molech. Chemosh was also a false god of the Moabites that required child sacrifice. But they would offer their children in the fire. They had their children pass through the fire, as it says in Scripture. Manasseh, King Manasseh, he was the one that did that. God brought judgment on his Old Testament people because they did that. They sacrificed their children. It is a horrible, awful sin, and it will definitely bring the judgment of God upon America. And what is our only hope? To cry out to God in repentance, to follow the Assyrians, the Ninevites, when Jonah preached in Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown, and from the king on down, they put on sackcloth, they sat in ashes, they fasted, and they called out to God and cried out to God for mercy. They repented from a contrite heart, and God responded to their repentance. Now, they were guilty of terrible, horrible sins. But God always responds to repentance and faith. And so we must do the same. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you on this very, very critical, important issue. You know, I'm going to preach. On October 6th in our church, election 2024. What is a Christian to do? And I'm going to talk about the issues that a Christian must really look at from a biblical perspective, and say, okay, I look at the two candidates. Where do they stand on this issue, that issue, the other issue? Jenna had Joel Rosenberg on just a little bit ago, and he was talking about Israel, and how a candidate views Israel is very, very important, because the Lord has said, Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. It is very, very important for the United States and for whoever is president to back Israel and to support them. Because the rest of the world does not. And so Donald Trump does support Israel. God bless him. Kamala Harris doesn't seem to support them at all. You can look and see when Benjamin Netanyahu came and spoke to the Senate, she didn't even bother to show up. She's president of the Senate, and she didn't even bother to show up. She was at a sorority party, speaking at a sorority party. It's just sickening. And snubbed him. And in all fairness, J.D. Vance didn't show up either. He was out campaigning. But we need to have the president support Israel. Very, very critical. But nothing is as critical as the issue of abortion. Now, you say, well, what do? We don't have a pro-life candidate. They seem to both be pro-abortion. Well, one is pro-abortion to the max. No restrictions. We allow women to make, with their doctors, to make their own decisions, and we don't get involved in that. They can choose to murder their baby even up until the ninth month. They can have their baby in the birth canal and have the doctor stick scissors in the back of the baby's head and crush their skull and suck out their brains. It's just gruesome. It is horrific. Or we can let the baby be born and just put the baby on a table and let the baby, don't give him any medical attention at all, and just let the baby die. Just heinous beyond comprehension that we would do that in America, and that somebody would say that, yeah, that's a good thing. As I played the Bill Maher clip, and he said, well, abolitionists think it's murder, and it kind of is, and I'm okay with that. And there was a little bit of a kind of a silent gasp that you could just feel. The people are like, oh, I can't believe you said that. And Piers Morgan said, well, that's ghastly, or however he put it. But basically, that was his comment. That's kind of a ghastly position, isn't it, Bill? And Bill threw it back at him. He said, isn't that the position of all pro-abortion people? You're saying that we're okay with murdering the unborn. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder. And a baby is made, like all human beings are made, in the image of God. And if you murder a defenseless, innocent, unborn baby in such a gruesome way, abortion is so gruesome, it rips the baby apart piece by piece. And then what does the abortion doctor do? He puts that in a petri dish and he pieces the baby back together to make sure he got all the pieces. It is just beyond sickening, beyond repulsive, beyond heartbreaking. And God hates that. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. We talked about this just a few programs ago. Proverbs 6, there are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. It is horrific, and God hates it. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. And we have Wayne on the line from North Carolina. Wayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Brother Jeff, it's good to be on the program.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Wayne.
I wanted to make a comment.
Yes, go ahead.
In 1995, my wife and I were pregnant with our first child, and Brianna. And in the pregnancy, they said Brianna was going to have all kinds of problems. And they said, we sat across from a doctor, and he said, you need to abort this child. You need to terminate the pregnancy. And, you know, as new parents, we sat there shocked, just in total shock. And we left and we went home and, you know, our hearts were heavy and we prayed. And, you know, we came to the conclusion. We said, you know, whatever God has in store for us, that's what God has in store for us. Mm. And we came along and went through the pregnancy, and Brianna was born and healthy and happy, Frank Breach, but she was just as good a baby as you could ever have. And now she sings with us as a family. We sing in church and go around to other churches. She plays the piano. She's a critical cardiac care unit nurse. And It's just amazing what God can do when you trust the Lord. But what happened later was Dinah almost died from having Brianna. And so it was 7 years and 7 months before our next child in 2005. And at 7 month mark, the doctor sat there and told us that what happened with Diana before was going to happen again. But this time, God just emboldened us, and Diana sat there and said, we're at a high-risk clinic, aren't we? And he said, yes. She said, you're a high-risk doctor. He said, yes. She said, well, you just do your job, and everything's going to be okay. And I tell you, whenever it came time to have Morgan, they were going to put us off, and Diana called them up and said, no, we're not going past 38 weeks, because at 39 weeks, that's when everything went south. And when we were talking with the high-risk doctor, he said, well, let me tell you something. My dissertation was what you almost died from, and I'll make sure I'm in that room with you whenever Morgan is born. And Morgan was born happy and healthy, and nothing happened to Diana. But in both cases, we were encouraged to terminate our children. And, you know, I can't imagine life without my girls.
Amen. Amen.
And I just thank the Lord for our family. And Morgan sings with us, and she plays the piano, and both of them love the Lord, and each of them got saved when they were very young during our family devotions. They accepted Christ.
Amen.
So I just thank the Lord.
What a great testimony, Wayne.
And thank you.
Yeah, great testimony. Thank you for calling in to share that. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about Pam and Bob Tebow, and when she was pregnant with Tim, she was told it was a tumor and they needed to have the procedure done to eliminate this, and she said no, and they told her, you're high risk, you're going to have all kinds of problems in this pregnancy, and you could die. And she said, no, we're going to trust the Lord. And She gave birth to Timothy Tebow, and we know how God has used him in such great ways. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and when we come back from the break, we'll be talking to you on the phone, 888-589-8840, and we have some people on the line now, and so we'll get to Karen and we'll get to Frank when we come back from the break. Don't go away.
How will you decide which candidates deserve your vote on November the 5th? Not just for president, but for all the other races down the ballot that are more important than you might think and impact your family more directly. TV ads and candidate rhetoric are meant to sway your emotions. iVoter Guide gives you the facts so you can think for yourself. iVoter Guide shows you what candidates have done and how they are likely to vote if elected. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
When you're shopping for toothpaste, does suggested profanity in their commercial cause you to be more likely to buy it? No. You want clean teeth, fresh breath, and maybe some whitener, right? Well, Hello needs to hear that the implication of foul language doesn't increase your desire to buy their toothpaste. In fact, the opposite is true. Please sign the petition at 1millionmoms.com asking Hello to cancel their strangely noticeable commercial and be more responsible in their ads. 1millionmoms.com.
You probably know someone who's really good at trying your patience.
I've just got to grit my teeth and love them, even if it kills me. And it probably will.
1 Corinthians 13 has some instructions for dealing with those kinds of people. Love is patient, it says. Love endures all things. We're called to do more than just endure. True love says, how can I help this person and pursue their best interests? True love is active, aggressive, long-suffering, investing in the people who bother us the most. Think about how God loved us. Even though we lived in sin and rebellion, He lavished His love on us. Even though we had offended His holiness, He sent His Son for us. If you ask Him, He'll give you the power to lavish His love on those difficult people in your life. With Seeking Him, I'm Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the issue of abortion today on the program, Real Truth for Today. Wanted to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah 19, beginning in verse 3, it says this: Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I'm about to bring calamity upon this place, at which the ears of everyone that hears it will tingle, because they have forsaken me and have made this an alien place and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods, that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter. If you know Israel's history, you know that Nebuchadnezzar came in 586 BC and totally destroyed the city of Jerusalem, broke down the wall, burned the temple, killed many, many, many people, took thousands upon thousands back to Babylon. That's why Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. Lamentations is written in a form where it's the A to Z. It's written in the Hebrew alphabet, every chapter. It's the A to Z, so to speak, of lamenting, of mourning over what he saw in the destruction of Jerusalem. And why did God bring that about? Because they had forsaken him, and he pinpoints the sin of sacrificing their children in the fire to the false gods of Baal, namely the god Molech. The same is going to happen in America if we do not repent. Now, here's the good news, because you may be listening and abortion has hit you and you've been involved in that in some form or fashion. And listen, God does not want you to live in guilt and shame. God does not want you to live in condemnation over something that you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever it might be. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's nothing more powerful. There's no sin that's too great for the blood of Jesus. And you can confess that, forsake that, and know that God will forgive you. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, including the sin of abortion. But now, as we look forward and as we talk about voting in America, abortion is a key issue. And I'd rather have a candidate that's open to discussion on this key issue than one that's versus one that's so all in and in the back pocket of the abortion industry that wants no restrictions on abortion at all. That person is not open in the slightest to hear about the fact that abortion is murder. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Ron on the line from Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just thinking that, as you have said so often, we have the truth. Now, we need to speak the truth in love, that's for sure, but we do have the truth. And I think we can be a little bit more, I don't want to say aggressive, maybe offensive, but we've got to be able to answer, as you have done. For example, I get so frustrated. I get so tired of hearing that it's my body, my choice, and I can do. Who are you, President Trump or former President Trump, to tell me what I can or cannot do with my own body? But the truth is that there is a genetically distinct, unique human being upon conception. The very first cell, the zygote, there is a distinct, genetically distinct, unique human being. And yet they still get away with that. I say they, the left, progressives, Democrats, liberals, whatever you would want to call them. But we get so hung up on the semantics, I think, Pastor Jeff, that, well, no, we're not killing a baby. We're terminating a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's the semantics. I get so frustrated and so tired, my friend, of hearing about reproductive health care. My response now is, you mean abortion?
Right.
Why don't you call it abortion? Is there something wrong with abortion? What do you mean, reproductive health care?
Exactly.
Abortion turns health care on its head. So
right.
I get kind of wound up a little bit. And here again, it's not as if... it's not as if I'm trying to spiritually wrestle somebody to the ground or beat down an opponent, but we do have the truth, and I think we've got to have the courageous spirit to tell the truth, not only for the unborn or the preborn, but also for the woman.
Right.
And in the so I'll stop there.
Well, good word, Ron. I appreciate you calling in, and I totally agree. And so we need to keep speaking the truth and letting people know, hey, this is what the Lord said. So I read that passage from the book of Jeremiah. Here's what it says in Psalm 106, beginning in verse 35. But they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Anybody that would try and make the case that abortion is a good thing and the Bible advocates for it doesn't know the first thing about the Bible, doesn't know the first thing about the heart of God, because, as he said, that didn't even enter my mind. I can't believe they would do something so wicked and so heinous, but they did, and we're doing it today. We have Karen on the line from Ohio. Karen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for taking my call.
Sure.
And I also going to share that scripture you just did. But anyway, the false notion of the child should bear the sin of the man who raped the woman who actually would carry that child to term. I know of two women. They're now in their 80s, I believe. One is named Lovada. These women I've gone to church with. She grew up on Malabar Farms where Louis Bromfield lived, and she witnessed the marriage of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. And during our Thanksgiving gathering, she tells a story of how she grew up there and all that. And then this past Thanksgiving, someone at the table later on said, well, what about your father? What about your father? She said, mother was raped.
Mm.
She revealed that she was the child of a rape. She's still living. She's living a productive life and loves the Lord and serves the Lord. The other woman, she told me, her mother was raped too. She became a hospital chaplain. So the children of women that have been raped deserve life.
Amen.
Because they too can serve God and be productive citizens in our country. Just because, and you've already said it, the child should not bear the sin of the father or even the mother.
That's exactly right.
So I just want to agree with you that though they may have been conceived by a desperate, awful act, they can live productive lives and love the Lord too.
Mm, very good, Karen. I appreciate you calling in with that. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about James Robison, the evangelist in the Dallas area. He was a product of rape. His mother was raped. And praise God, she didn't abort James when he was in the womb. And she had James, and God has used James to share the gospel around the world and to lead untold multitudes of people to faith in Christ. So, yeah, as horrible as that is, rape and incest are just horrific. It is not right to say, well, in response to this evil, I'm going to commit an evil and murder the unborn child. So I appreciate you calling in, Karen. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask a general question. It's not really very specific. That I don't understand how a person like Kamala Harris can run for president as a Baptist or attending a Baptist church without that church coming out and disciplining a member. Where is the Southern Baptist Convention to come against and have a statement against Kamala? And basically what I'm looking for is a pushback to say all of these lies, all of these, you know, attacks with the Trump derangement syndrome that's perpetrated the Democratic Party of Marxism and all their screwery with the public cash register. Every time they get an election, it's always some cause to get all the Christians and the conservatives up in arms. This time it's abortion when you say something so ridiculous like my body, my choice. Well, what about the little baby's body that gets torn up to pieces with a drill bit going 20,000 RPM, like a dental drill, really. It's like 80,000 RPM, tearing up the limbs and the brains and the body. And like you say, they drag the pieces out onto a petri dish and reassemble the body of not my body, not my choice, that's been murdered on a petri dish to make sure they got every little piece. You know, it's very sad. And what does the Bible say about that? That if you're a liar and a cheat and a thief, your father is the devil. She is of the devil. Where is the Southern Baptist convention on that?
Yeah, to my knowledge, she's not Southern Baptist. She goes to a Baptist church, but it's not a Southern Baptist church. You're exactly right. That church, that pastor, if he has any kind of biblical sense at all, he needs to get up and condemn her position and call her to repentance. But I get the feeling that the church she goes to is a liberal church, and they're okay with that, and they're just, hey, we're so excited that one of our own could potentially become the president. We don't care what they stand for. It's just sickening. My friend Daryl Harrison, who is a black man, he says, sadly, so many black churches in America are not, they're preaching a social gospel. They're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not teaching the truths of Scripture. So they're okay with all these positions. It doesn't bother them that, that you would have somebody from your church that would be espousing these things. Now, Bill Clinton was a Southern Baptist, and he was a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church there in Little Rock, and he needed to be, called to account by that church, and they needed to distance themselves from him and call him out and say, "Hey, we're gonna put you under church discipline unless you change your position. Those positions are wrong." The position that he had on abortion, he said he was against abortion except for rape, incest, and life of the mother, and he wanted abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. That was just a bunch of baloney. He just was wanting abortion to be legal so that he can say, "Well, I'm not really for abortion," but he opens the door for the abortionists. That's just sleight of hand and not being forthright. Hey, what we've said on this program today, bottom line, just the black and white of the whole thing, life begins at conception. Abortion is murder. The only situation where you could say, well, abortion is viable is if the mother is going to physically die because of this. And most mothers that I know would say, "Hey, I'd rather my child to live and I die than I live and my child dies." Now, I don't know about the father, because a father would have a very difficult time if his wife died and now he has a newborn to take care of. But that is a very, very rare situation where the life of the mother, truly the life of the mother to continue to live, is at stake. And as Jenna Ellis said, the left says the life of the mother, well, that includes her emotional well-being and her health and, moving forward and all these things. And they broaden it to mean anything under the sun. That's not the way people understand that. The life of the mother means if this is not done, the mother is going to die. She's going to cease to live. And that would be the only instance. Well, thank you for tuning in today to Real Truth for Today. And I want to thank Jenna Ellis for being my guest today. If you live in the Florida area, as we talked about Amendment 4, vote no on Amendment 4. In Florida, the estimate is if Amendment 4 passes, 40,000 babies annually would die. Surrounding states that still have strong legislation protecting life would see their citizens come to Florida for abortion tourism. The abortion industry that is backing these amendments, like Planned Parenthood, stand to gain financially from these things. It's not about women's health. It has never been about women's health. So go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Speak the truth in love and let God use you in great ways as His witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.